Well, aren't you thankful to be able to sing God's praises? And we have certainly sung His praises. We're so thankful as followers of Jesus Christ where our ultimate destination is, right? That it is in heaven. And we are citizens of a kingdom that will not pass away. Are you thankful for that truth as a follower of Jesus Christ? And as those songs reminded us of the hope that we have in Jesus Christ. So we look forward to that day. But there's still work to be done here on earth, right? And so by now, you probably, if you weren't with us last week, have seen the title of the message once again. And if you're here for the first time, you're like, where in the world and what in the world is he doing? Where is he going with that, right? But we as believers in Christ believe that we are called, yes, to be a part of a kingdom that will not pass away. That's our ultimate destination. We are citizens of the kingdom of heaven. But every follower of Jesus Christ has a responsibility to be a good citizen of the land in which they live. And so we have the privilege and the blessings in this land as followers of Christ to influence our culture. And so that's what we're touching on this morning. A couple biblical issues following from last week and then this week of issues that are not just the nation's issues, but the state of Virginia issues. As I even referenced last week, that the nation will be watching the state of Virginia Tuesday because there's issues that's being addressed. And one, which we addressed last week, is sanctity of life issues. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, we believe in the value and the sanctity of life, as we talked about last week. We also believe that life is God's design. So once again, we're going to go from cover to cover several passages in the Word of God. I invite you to go to Genesis, because in Genesis is where we are going to begin our message as we explore the design of Almighty God as it relates to humanity. See, His design and His purpose for human life, once again, is seen throughout Scripture. As we touched on even last week, we talked about, how we can see lessons from the Bible of God's design in human life. And last week we explored that even in the creation of human life, even in the creation of mankind, we're both able to see God's love and His value for human life, as well as God's great design. For it is in Genesis 1, 26 through 27 that we see that man is unique, because as we referenced last week, that God spoke creation into existence, but when He created mankind, He did so with love and with design and with purpose. God spent time and effort as He made man with love and with His design and purpose. Man indeed is a spiritual and an eternal being that has great value to God as He has created and He has designed mankind to have a personal relationship with Him. And as once again we see the creation of Almighty God, we pick up in Genesis 1, 27 and 28, and we see the creation of Adam followed by the reference to the creation of Eve. And it goes on to say this: so God created man in His own image. In the image of God created him, male and female. That is God's design. It's not open for interpretation. It is not open for redefinition. God made male and female. And both of these genders are a beautiful creation and a design from Almighty God. We go on to see that this creation of mankind is both very personal and very special. As we go on, for example, to explore in just a chapter later, Genesis chapter 2, to see the level of intimacy in the design and the creation of man. Genesis 2 verse 7 once again says, "And the Lord God formed the man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. God created mankind with a personal touch, if you will. An intimate level of creation is involved. And then, of course, later in this chapter, in chapter 20, verse 20 rather, we then see that the creation of woman took place. Notice in the following verses in Genesis chapter 2 that there's a creative design for woman as well. We see that see how special it was and how she was made. In Genesis 2, verses 20 through 23, it goes on to say this: "But for Adam, there was found a helper. There was found no helper comparable to him, rather. And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of the ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman. And he brought her to the man. And Adam said, 'This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man.'" In other words, man need help. Did you catch that? All the ladies can attest to the fact that they have looked at their spouses and significant others and have said, "You need help." I'm reminded of my dating life so many years ago with Star. And one thing she noticed was that I didn't have much of a wardrobe at the time. In fact, one of our dates in which we watched a movie together, she was all decked out looking good, of course, and I was in sweats. Isn't that a shame? I admit, I needed help. And so she worked her little magic, if you will, and she did something about it. And so at least it has improved since that time in which I was a bachelor way back when. Well, thank you. That's because of the fact she bought these things. Yeah. Many men can relate to that, right? So indeed, there is something beautiful about God's design. God designed both male and female, and they're very different, aren't they? But how they come together and complement each other is such a beautiful thing. See, biblical masculinity is not toxic, but is rather God's design as a man is called to lead spiritually and protect and provide. Biblical femininity is a beautiful thing as a woman, certainly is a helper to the man, but is also a nurturer and a blessing to both her husband and her children. And as Psalm says, that the children will rise up and call the godly woman blessed. There's something special about the woman who makes a house a home and puts the love and the nurture and the care in that home. And both have individual responsibilities and roles, but they're both of equal value, and they have purpose, and they have design. God knew what He was doing. And so God's design is clearly seen as this beautiful creation of both male and female. It's also seen in His creation of the marriage institution. Notice that following the design of the two sexes, male and female, God designed the institution of marriage, which would be the foundation of the family. Just a few verses later in Genesis 2, 24 through 25, as we pick up on that, it goes on to say, "Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they are both naked, and the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed." They were brought together to complement each other and comfort each other and be there for each other. And this design of marriage is a beautiful thing. Biblical marriage is designed by God between man and woman, and it is not to be redefined. In fact, the redefinition, if you will, that was given by the Supreme Court's decision in 2015 to redefine marriage and to legalize same-sex marriage was inappropriate and wrong because it wasn't their design. It is God's unique design. And how dare they try to redefine the design of Almighty God. And so when we have a conflict between man's law and God's law, we choose God's law, and we are to obey God rather than man. Now, some would say this is a principle that only applies in the Old Testament, but that's not true. It is reaffirmed several times in the New Testament, and it's highlighted in Ephesians chapter 5. I have the privilege and the opportunity to take each couple that I have the privilege of officiating their marriage through Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 is one of my favorite passages, because in Ephesians chapter 5, the very relationship between Christ and church is illustrated by the example of a marriage between a man and a woman, a husband and wife. And once again, this is God's design. It's a beautiful thing. This respect and love that they have for each other is designed by the Lord, and it is a beautiful thing. So the beautiful design is seen in God's creation of human's life, the marriage institution, and also, as we even referenced last week, in the conception of human life within the womb. As we talked about last week, the child being conceived in the mother's womb is truly a miracle. I shared with you last week that, for example, Psalm 139, which shows the love that God has for humanity and the child in the womb, is demonstrated in Psalm 139. It's very special to me, as I shared with you last week, that years ago I had both the sonogram of our firstborn son, Connor, in my lap, and looking at this passage, and the Lord just use this passage to bless me so much. And listen once again to this passage of Psalm 139, verses 13 through 17, which reminds us of the love that God has for us within the womb and the design that He has for us as children in the womb as well. It goes on to say in Psalm 139, verse 13 through 17, "For You formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise You, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from You when I was made in secret, and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in Your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are Your thoughts to me. O God, how great is the sum of them." In other words, in the womb, that unborn child is deeply loved. There's great design that takes place even within the womb. And some might say, "Oh, but what about the disabilities and the diseases that take place even in the womb?" And I would simply say this, that is simply a result from the fall of mankind. You see, when sin entered into the world, there was a curse that came into the world, and death and disease and all of those type of things all result from the curse of sin. And so even if a person has some type of disease or some type of deformity, even if the child in the womb has some type of deformity or disease or whatever it may be, certainly that is a result and that's a consequence of sin and the results of sin. Yet, even in those moments, it does not take away from the value and the love that God has for humanity. And that is why we as followers of Jesus Christ are called to speak up for the unborn child. That is why we are called to make sure that human life is valued from the womb and to the tomb, if you will. We value and love life because it's God's design. And He loves, He values human life. So should His followers. God's beautiful design is seen once again in the creation of human life, the marriage institution, the conception of life. But God's design is also seen as He makes humans a new creation. Last week we concluded by talking about the gift of salvation and what that means. To make a long story short, we declare the gospel message and how precious it is to you and I, realizing that God demonstrated His own love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Backing up in time, it was His great love in which God the Father sent His only begotten Son, Jesus, the very Son of God, to this earth to become fully human. And as He grows up and as He goes through all the stages of life, from birth to childhood, to adolescence, to adulthood, all that that meant, and as He gives His life on Christ to fulfill the will of the Father, He is demonstrating the love of Almighty God. For it pleased the Father that Jesus would go to the cross for your sins and for my sins, because it was the Father's will to reconcile us back to a relationship with Him. And it comes so through faith in Jesus Christ. And so the design of reconciliation and salvation is designed by Almighty God to bring the sinner back to the Savior and back to God, to form that relationship and intimate fellowship that He desires for us to have with Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. And so as a follower of Jesus Christ gives his life to Christ, this glorious salvation takes place. But it doesn't stop there, because this begins the journey and the walk with the Lord. And so it is that this salvation that He offers to all humanity is available to all who will call upon the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. And as they receive this free gift of salvation, there begins this newness of life. They are literally a new creation. As 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7 goes on to say, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. God is doing a new work in a person that He saves. They're becoming a new creation. They are gifted with the Holy Spirit, the third person of God, the Holy Spirit who indwells the life of the believer, who guides us, who directs us in this life. It is upon salvation that we are once again reconciled to God by faith in Jesus Christ. We are sealed by the Holy Spirit. He renews our mind. He regenerates our heart. He transforms us. You see, God has the habit of turning the worst of the sinners into the best of the saints. That's exactly what He did with Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Isn't it? Listen to what Titus 3, verses 4 through 7 say about this truth. It goes on to say, but when the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us, through the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. That, having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. As a song that we sing from time to time says, aren't you glad you're a part of the family of God? We've been bought by His precious blood that was shed for us. We are joint heirs with Jesus as we travel along. But ultimate destination is eternal life in heaven. That is a hope that a follower of Jesus Christ has. Maybe here today, and for whatever reason, you have never received the gospel message and this free gift of salvation. Just a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. The first point of invitation, the most important thing that you can do, is to receive this free gift of salvation by placing your faith in Jesus Christ. As we have this time of invitation, it's an opportunity to respond. If you never respond to the tugging of your heart by the Holy Spirit who is drawing you to a relationship with God through faith in Jesus Christ. Question that Nicodemus asked so long ago, what must I do to be born again? To make a long story short, as Jesus goes on to talk to Nicodemus about the importance of being born again, meaning spiritually born again, he goes to show him that even though he was a religious leader, that he had to come to a point that he understood that he couldn't earn his salvation. And so it is that you and I have to come to a point where an individual understands that they can do nothing to earn their salvation, but it's by His matchless and marvelous grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, not of yourselves, as a gift of God. And so as you come to a point where you admit you're a sinner and that you need a Savior, you believe that the Savior is Jesus Christ, the very Son of God who was sent to earth by the Father so that you could be reconciled back to the Father and have a personal relationship with the very God of the universe, so that you, as you place your faith in Jesus Christ, believing that He died for your sins and my sins, buried, rose again according to the Scripture, you receive that by faith, and you confess Him as your Lord and your Savior, you will be saved, which means that you are now a child of the Most High God, and He will make you a new creation. Maybe that's the response that you need to make in our invitation that's coming soon. Christians, maybe the Lord has touched your heart and laid on your heart the importance of loving others the way God loves us. Others are His creation. They are His design. They were made with love. God loves them so much, and so should we. So maybe the Lord is laying on your heart that you would have more of a burden for the lost, that you have more of a burden and compassion as you see those who need Jesus, that you would be willing to share this wonderful message, the gospel, to them and share with them how they might come to Christ. Maybe the Lord is calling you to be more intentional and prayerful about personal evangelism. Maybe the Lord is laying on your heart as a follower of Jesus Christ that you are looking forward to going to heaven someday, and you have been sealed to the day of redemption. But what is He calling you to do right now? Simply put, He has called you and I to be light and salt within the culture, to demonstrate the love of God toward others, and to love others as well. Maybe today the Lord is laying on your heart that you want to walk closer to the Lord as a follower of Jesus Christ, as an individual believer. Maybe He's laying that upon your heart today, and maybe that's the response that you need to make today, that I want to walk closer with You, oh Lord. I want to fellowship with You in a special and intimate way. I want to walk with You. I want to pray with You. I want to read Your Word so You reveal Yourself to me. Maybe there's a commitment that you need to make as an individual believer today. Maybe you're involved in a marriage, and your prayer and your desire is that God will bless your marriage, and that your marriage, although it won't be perfect, will be a model for the world to see of what it looks like when marriage, which is God's design, brings together two individuals, male and female, who have placed their faith in Jesus Christ and who put Christ first and foremost in their life as the center of their marriage. What does that look like? We all have room to improve. But maybe you want God's blessing upon your marriage. Maybe you, in addition, want God's blessing upon your family. Are you the person within your family that God has called you to be so that you can be an example before them? As a worship team comes forward, as we prepare for this time of invitation, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we are so thankful for your design, your creation. Your ways certainly are perfect. So as you formed Adam so many years ago, it was perfect in every way. As you then, O Father, through Adam, formed Eve, she was perfect in every way, had the perfect environment that anyone could ask for. And so we thank you, Father, for your creation and for your design. But we understand that sin entered into the world, and as Romans says, death by sin. And so sin is passed upon all men. And so, O Lord, ever since that time, O Lord, you have set in motion the opportunity for people to be reconciled back to a close relationship with you. So, O Lord, we're praying that if there's one here that has never received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, may they be reconciled back to God and redeemed, for we know it's your desire for all people to call upon the name of the Lord. You're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. You desire, Father, for them to place their faith in Jesus Christ and follow you and to be with you for all eternity in heaven. That is your desire. So if there is one here who has never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, oh Lord, may they take that most important step to follow Jesus, to have their sins forgiven, and to become a new creation. We do pray. But we who are followers of Jesus Christ, we ask, O Lord, for your blessing upon our lives, that we may, O Father, be children of the Most High God, that are ambassadors for you, that are salt and light in our culture, that model what a believer in Christ should look like, that we, O Father, model marriages and what they should look like, that we, O Lord, lead families and minister to our families as you would have us to live and to lead, O Father, we do pray. So this, O Lord, we give over to you, knowing, O Lord, that none of these things can ever be accomplished apart from your help and hope. Because our hope is found in Christ and Christ alone, and our help is found as we rely on you for your strength, your guidance, your direction. So, O Lord, as we open up this time of invitation, may, O Lord, you draw our hearts to you. May we respond in obedience. This we do pray in Jesus' name. Amen.